sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Wednesday. Later in the show today, we're going to hear from Penn State athletic trainer Jonathan Salazar. There's a lot that goes into a job like this, and we'll hear from him about treatment, rehab, where the line is drawn between what the doctor's role is and what the trainer's role is, how great it is dealing with coaches, because they are great to deal with and they trust, and dealing with personalities. There are certain athletes that no matter what, they have such a competitive nature, they have to get themselves out there no matter what. And it sometimes is up to the trainer to reel them in. And then there are other athletes where they can be out there, but they have to be perfect before they're out there. And he has to deal with that personality as well. We'll hear from Saz. So we're going to do that after the bottom of the hour. He's one of the finest in the country, and we'll talk to Jonathan Salazar. Tomorrow, we're going to preview high school basketball. Shikellamy and Sealands Grove, both the coaches, will be on tomorrow's show. We're looking forward to that. Meanwhile, our number here is 1-800-795-9565. I want to hear from as many people as possible today outside of what we're doing, and we bring in Kevin Herr. Kevin, good afternoon.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. It's good to be with you.
Sarah Bartlett also here as well, because I figured you'd want her anyway.
Good afternoon.
Sarah, on behalf of Kevin, myself, and the entire listening area, I would like to say to you, happy birthday.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks to everyone here.
I assume that they threw a huge bash for you.
I got a lot of nice stuff.
I would hope so. I assume that her, at the very least, at least gave you a card. I doubt there's cash in it.
Well, definitely no cash.
Was there a card?
I prefer the personal response as to a card, which you can pick up in a store without much thought or effort. I prefer to have the personal interaction of wishing a happy birthday and kind of celebrating at the same time.
So the answer is no.
Yeah,
Steve,
that's pretty much it, yeah.
So in other words, you bought her nothing.
No. I gave her my heartfelt wish for a very happy birthday. We had a little moment there where we chatted a little bit about birthdays.
Yes. Was that free or priceless?
It was priceless because that's the personal touch you don't get from a card that someone else wrote for you.
All right, wow. I understand. Well, I want to thank Allie Stevens. She made me cupcakes today, so I wanted to say that on the air.
And Allie Stevens, by the way, has done an interview with Vince Papale, which we want to air here at some point.
Yes, probably. That's on the list for next week.
Yeah, it's on the list for next week. Allie does a great job. I know, Sarah, you're going to be doing a series of features along the way as we climb through the show. We appreciate that very much.
Yes, I am. I'm excited for that. And I got a sneak peek of Allie's Vince Papale interview, and it's a good one. It's real good.
Yeah, outstanding. And Kevin bought you nothing.
Yes. We'll see how the show goes today. We have 2 hours. Maybe you can run out and get something.
You know, I could carry the show for a while. I've been known to do that. If you'd like to go out to the local Walgreens or CVS and at least come up with something, happy birthday, a candle, something.
Right.
You're going to get her nothing.
No, I told you, I have my. It came from the heart. That's more than you could spend in dollars. Listen, you're starting to sound a little bit like The Office now. Like when you get a Christmas present, I love you this many dollars.
You know, I feel like I'm doing a crossword puzzle right now. What's a five-letter word for somebody who won't give anything to anybody? Loser.
Oh, wow.
I like it.
I was even going to go with, K-E-V-I. I mean, even my name fit that better.
Right. I was going to say Kevin, but I didn't want to offend you.
Wow.
That's my job. In the end, that's my job.
And don't let him think that he doesn't enjoy that job.
But it's your birthday. Now I will freely admit, I'm not in the station, so I could not get you a card.
Oh, that's the reason.
It's okay.
But I would have.
I believe that.
I know you do, Sarah. Meanwhile, somebody who's worked with you for a while, once again, Okay. Have you ever seen in the radio station a moth fly around in the radio station, Sarah?
I have.
Yes, that emanated from Her's wallet.
There you go. I saw that.
There's the understanding.
So happy birthday from us to you.
Thank you so much.
I hope it's a great day for you. I hope you're having a great time. And we shall now kick this show into another gear as we've now had the opportunity to wish Sarah Bartlett a happy birthday. We will not reveal Sarah's age, although far younger than the rest of us.
But there's an understatement.
Whew. Yes. So, you know. So there you go. I'm glad we're able to get birthday wishes out to her and get the show rolling. Anybody else wants to call and wish her happy birthday and do it the cheap Kevin Her way, you can do it.
There you go. The cheap Kevin Her way. Thanks.
What?
By the way, Dave.
Yes, go ahead.
No. I was going to add that I did a little bit of research, and hopefully Steve Williams will be with us later on this week as well. District 4 Wrestling, the individual tournament going on on Friday night up at Jersey Shore. And they have announced the AA and AAA members to the Hall of Fame, to the Coaches Hall of Fame. And Bob Supsik from Shikellamy, a 116-20 career at Shikellamy, a three-time district champion, won a regional championship in 87, four-time place winner at States. Placed sixth, I think it was twice, third, also a second. Currently the Shikellamy coach and helps out with the, or currently coaches the Shikellamy elementary team. He is actually going to be entering into the Hall of Fame, so that's one of the things we'll talk to Steve about.
That's great. That's great. That's exactly what we need to get on. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be fabulous. And also the two high school coaches coming in tomorrow. Talk about the showdown between Shikellamy and Sealands Grove.
And if all goes well, if all goes well, the Chief will actually be able to preview the girls' game coming up on Friday, which will be the predecessor to the boys' district game.
There'll be a doubleheader coming up on Friday. Right. And he has the thrill of doing that game, and then you have the thrill of finding out win, lose, or
you won't need to.
And then having to work with a master.
That's right. Last year it was kind of depressing because the girls actually had a chance to win the game, fell short in the last couple of minutes, and I kind of had to cheer the Chief up a little bit as we started the broadcast. But it took him about a quarter or so to get back into gear again from the depression of the season being over.
About the same way you cheered up Sarah today when it was her birthday. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. We say home in Sunbury. Hi, Dave, at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Steve. First of all, I'd like to say happy birthday to Sarah. And if I'd have known that was her birthday, unlike that other character there, I'd have went out. I'd have first asked Sarah about a 20 Q&A and went out and found a special card just for that lady.
Well done, Dave.
See, I believe in that personal card from the heart.
Yeah, well, it means also keeps the heart bubbling up when you read that, and you can go back to it multiple times.
Now, Dave, you know there's a five-letter word in a crossword puzzle for that.
What?
Cheap.
Cheap. Cheapskate, right? With the moths flying out of there?
No, because I didn't open anything. That's why the moths didn't fly.
He's getting a bad... I'll tell you right now, Dave, Her is getting a bad image on this show.
I had a great image till this program started. I noticed that.
Well, to be honest, Kevin, if you had just put the thought into it, you wouldn't have that bad image.
That could be.
You know?
All it took would be like $4.50. You're in.
$4.50? What kind of card are you buying?
Any kind of card.
Wow.
Hey,
I tell you what, I can't wait for my birthday if you're spending $4.50.
Steve, I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to be surprised at this. But my great niece, I found a card for 59 cents at a Dollar General.
Yeah.
And when that kid gets it, it goes out to Pittsburgh. It'll mean the world to her. It doesn't have to be a $4.50 card. You can even make your own card. How about that, Kevin?
There you go.
Well, see, unfortunately, I'm not talented enough to be able to do that.
Who said it had to be talent?
Listen, the last card I tried to make and tried to draw had stick figures on it, so I'm not so sure that would be memorable.
No. Wow.
Well, Steve. I'll let you go.
Dave, it's great. You added a lot to the show and added a lot to Sarah's birthday and a perspective on which way hers should have gone.
You know, says if I was that young and knew of her personally, I'd have moved heaven and earth to get her a card.
Well, you know, that's class. Class shows. You know, this heartfelt co-worker play. By the way, happy birthday. You know, hope you're having a great day.
I was much sweeter than that. Thank you.
You listen to her on this broadcast. You can't help but be nice to her.
No, I'm always nice to her. I
didn't say you were mean. I didn't say you were rotten.
All right.
But I did say that you were cheap.
Listen, I'm not arguing the cheap part, all right? I can't deny that. I mean, for Valentine's Day, we waited until the day after. And my wife's fine with that because she actually supports that. They wait till the day after. Well, because everything's on sale at that point.
Do you celebrate Christmas on the 26th?
Depends on what is on sale at that point.
Oh. Brutal. Brutal. You should... You know what we need to do?
I can't wait to hear this.
We need now to talk to the sales staff.
Uh-huh.
Put together a little trade here, a little trade there, so you can take your wife someplace.
No. She's very much... the opposite of that. She likes nice dinner at home type of thing. She's good with that.
At some point, you do know I will talk with her.
Well, your
ability to get away with this nonsense is going to go by the boards. You do know that.
You don't think I prepared her for this already?
Her and I are going to have a long talk. And not only that, Bartlett's going to join us.
Oh, great. That'll be great.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Oh, sure it will be. Won't be for you.
Hey, listen, I got an interesting topic for you. Are you ready for this?
I thought we were already on an interesting topic.
That's only from your perspective, buddy.
No, it's based on the calls so far. All the calls have been about you.
Uh-huh. Well, here's my interesting topic for you as we abruptly change directions. There was a report.
You're hoping to.
I'm working on it. There was a report that came out about head impacts on second grade football players.
Yes.
And one of the things that has been discussed is maybe changing the practices around for and making it a rule in the Pop Warner division to allow 6 hours of practice a week, which means 2 hours of contact drills, or even less than that.
Now, this is second graders. What's the age?
Let's see, second graders would be six, seven years old.
7, 8 years old.
It's been a while since I've had a kid in second grade.
I'll be honest with you. They shouldn't be playing football. I don't think they should be. I think they should be allowed to go through football skills and so forth until they get to, you know, once they get to junior high, yes.
I'm not against the non-contact at that age. I think maybe at, I think 8, 9, and 10, and I've coached 8, 9, and 10, there's a big difference between the ability and the size of an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where I think a lot of the problems come around. As a coach, you have to keep it in your mind not to play 8-year-olds against 10-year-olds because there's a little bit of a difference there, not only in ability, but in size.
And I know weight enters into it as well. There's a weight limit. A good friend of mine, Don Desjardins, who lives down in Orlando, his son Jackson is really big for his age. I think Jackson's 10 years old, and he can't play in certain leagues because just pure size. I mean, and it's not, and he's not a chubby kid. He is actually pretty well conditioned. It just he's big. You know, he's tall. He's taller than average for his age, and he's also, you know, broad boned for his age. So I mean, that enters into it. I mean, I'm not somebody who's for. I always really felt that you should allow them to really go at it starting in junior high school at that point.
So you say junior high is where it should start.
Mm-hmm. That's me. I mean, I don't mind them having Pop Warner skills, things like that, and figuring out things like that. But in terms of the contact of it, I'm a little concerned about the contact of it.
Yeah, second grade contact to me is a little bit young.
Yeah, it's very young. It's too young. Second grade contact is too young, in my opinion. I mean, I could even expand it possibly to sixth grade, maybe sixth grade. But I prefer seventh.
Well, I think the league that I was involved in was 8, 9, and 10. That was the lower level. And mm-hmm. then you actually had two separate teams. You had an 8-year-old team and then a 9-10. Right. And you tried to make sure that, you know, those two teams didn't play against each other, you know, the 8s against the 10s and that sort of thing. Then you went into 11 and 12-year-olds, which is the A division in the league that I'm involved in. And that was a little bit more, I don't want to say even, because you still have a little differential in how some of the kids are growing and their abilities, but that was a little bit closer than an 8 to 10. And you had to be very careful in that 8 to 10 not to match up the right. kids properly so you don't run into those issues.
Exactly. 3:22, bottom of the hour, news. And then we'll follow that with Jonathan Salazar, the Penn State athletic trainer. We'll hear from him. That's all coming up with the Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Rebate, rebate. Rebate.
Do I hear a frog?
No, just me rebating. Oh. It's rebate time at Kohl's Hardware.
Oh, cool.
The one big rebate event is for 10 days only, and the best part is you fill out one form and all your rebates are done.
Oh, that's just what I've been waiting for. The 32 pages of money-saving coupons and instant rebates in the Kohl's Spring Coupon Book. Over $200 in coupon savings, plus 10 days of instant rebates.
Wow, you can get Easy Care paints for just $17.99 a gallon after the $7.99 rebate, and a 6-foot Warner ladder was $44.99 with $10 rebate, just $34.99.
Oh, a 3-piece paintbrush set is just 99 cents. But wait, with a 99 cent rebate, the paintbrush set is free. Get Scott's 2-pound bird seed for $7.99, but then get a $7.99 rebate and the bird seed is free. Did I say free?
Rebates, rebates.
There's
rebates.
32 pages of money saving coupons in the Kohl's coupon book with over $200 in savings and 10 days of rebates. Hurry, rebates end the 25th. Kohl's Hardware. We're close, convenient, helpful, and saving you money in your hometown.
Come on home to Kohl's.
When you think about better water, think gulping, like a kid again. Just like your own kids, straight from the tap without a hint of suspicion. Think ice cubes dancing in glassware, and foods rinsed in water that has itself been washed clean. When you think about better water, think Kinetico filtered water. Water without foul tastes or odors. Water that has had nearly everything removed that isn't water. Kinetico home filtration systems are tailored to your home's needs and are capable of achieving incredibly high levels of filtration. Better water. It flows from better thinking.
Purchase a whole house Kinetico water conditioner and receive a free drinking water system valued at $250 at Tri-County Water, your authorized independent Kinetico dealer on Route 11 outside of Northumberland. Online at Kinetico.com.
Every day, get expert insight on the market and the economy and how both can impact your finances and investments with the Wall Street Journal Report on WKOK. You'll also get coverage of major global stories, political events, medical breakthroughs, emerging technology, and more. Listen for the Wall Street Journal Report weekday mornings at 25 after and 5 minutes before the hour from 6 to 8:30. Then, hear more insightful coverage weekday afternoons from 5 to 7. Weekend mornings, catch the report Saturdays in the 9 o'clock hour and Sundays in the 10 o'clock hour. Only on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is your birthday. What's my birthday to you?
Is this your way of making up to her?
I'm trying.
That doesn't cut
since,
it.
Since you think I've erred and I have insulted her.
Oh, I didn't say you erred or insulted her.
Oh.
Oh, not in the least. No. Oh,
okay.
No.
All right.
No. You're just plain cheap.
Ah, okay. Just cheap.
Which I believe that she has come to expect anyway.
Well, yeah, she's known me a long time. She knows
I'm sure she woke up today and she expected nada.
Well, then I didn't disappoint.
This is where you could have come through big.
That's true. I like to set the bar low. That way it's attainable.
So this is what I'm dealing with. I took on this show, and now I've been
told
the bar was set low?
That's it. I just try to make it attainable.
I say, there you go. Well, I'll tell you right now, this is a particular day. You're meeting expectations.
Excellent.
All right. Well done.
1-800-795-9565. You can also email stevejones@wkok.com. That's stevejones@wkok.com. Started talking a little bit about the youth football programs around the country and where it's okay for contact.
Again, I would not allow contact until they were seventh grade. That's maybe sixth I can get away with, but you're talking about development here. Bone structure, how old they are, whether they're still growing. And no one loves football more than I do. Love football. I think it teaches great lessons. I'm talking about the actual contact part of it. Now, and you're talking about concussions, because what spurred this conversation on was your talk about concussions.
Exactly.
Of second graders. I'm sorry, but that part there is, that's the disturbing part. That's why it really even cements my thought that maybe not at this stage. Maybe not at this stage. Because once you get a concussion, you are 50% more susceptible to your next concussion. Once you have one, you're 50% more susceptible to the next one. And that's something I know from talking to doctors over the years who have done extensive studies on it. Dr. Doug Aukerman, who's now the head of sports medicine at Oregon State in Corvallis, was here at Penn State for many years. I think Doug was here at least 8 years before he took the Oregon State job in the past few months. He started back in January at Corvallis. He did extensive studies on concussions, as did Dr. Margo Petukian here. And I talked to them extensively, interviewed them about it many times because of how important it is. You look at a player, for example, like Billy Oliver at Penn State. Billy Oliver, because of the concussions he's had, has now had to call it quits. And he doesn't want to stop basketball. He doesn't want to stop playing. He wants to keep playing basketball. Yes, The Who with the theme from CSI New York.
We could call this CSI Central Pennsylvania. There's seven CSIs.
I can tell you right now, Gary Sinise would not be cheap with Seal Award at her birthday party. And our Seal Award is Sarah Bartlett. She's coming up next with the news at the bottom of the hour on WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. So far, wish Sarah happy birthday. We've also talked about concussions and about concussion levels for second graders trying to play football. In a few moments, we're going to hear from Penn State trainer Jonathan Salazar. But back to the phones at 1-800-795-9565. To Maryland we go. Hi, George. Thank you for joining us. You're on the show.
Good afternoon. I couldn't agree with you guys more about this concussion thing and young kids. It's been an interest of mine. I coached high school ball quite a while back, and when I got kids that played football that young, they really had no skills. They got pigeonholed and whatever, and I don't think they really developed much. I would have much rather had a soccer player, I think. You know,
well, I understand that. Right.
And I think you're absolutely correct that the injury part, because it's hard enough to fit kids in equipment, and you know those kids are so small the helmets look like bobbleheads half the time.
They do. You're right. And I just feel that I think it would be great, for example, to have almost a 7-on-7 teach those kind of skills when they're younger.
Oh,
but the contact part of it, where you really line up 11 against 11 and you start to, quote, go at it, I wouldn't start that myself until 7th grade. I could maybe buy 6th, but 7th grade is what I have in mind.
I could buy 6th if it was very well controlled.
Yes.
You know, because if you're in a school system and you've got a good system, your high school, your varsity's coach is going to watch that too to make sure that they develop correctly and get some skills. So that's where I would say, you know, the emphasis needs to be.
And let's face it, they don't have the fundamentals yet, and there's a possibility they may leave with the head when they go to tackle somebody anyway, because that's what they think they're seeing on television.
Right, right. And then they want to be like the television guys. I know down here in Maryland, this little league football season's longer than the high school season.
And right. I'll tell you right now, I would coach Little League and Babe Ruth baseball all-star teams. Now, I never coached the Williamsport ones.
Uh-huh.
I always received the next-tier kids, and they would put you in tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And the first tournament, you're all excited. You go to the tournament, they play. You get the second tournament, yeah, you go to the tournament, you're excited, you play. And then when you get to the third one, you're driving and thinking, oh, boy, I hope we lose tonight. Maybe we lose tonight, we get out of the tournament. It's too long. It's too much. And I do not agree. The other thing I do not agree with at all, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, George, since you're somebody that's coached before, there's too much specialization at a young age. I think they should be allowed to move from sport to sport and find out what they like before you look at a kid and say, look, you want to play baseball, you better do it all year.
Well, right. That's happening now, I think that's a shame, because then they get burned out. I've seen so many really good soccer players actually quit in high school because they've played all year round. They've played, like you said, all those tournaments. They play winter, you know, spring, and then by the time they get to where, you know, they can shine, they're burned out.
And I think they should find out what they like. Football,
oh, sure.
Wrestling, basketball, track and field, baseball, softball, whatever it happens to be. You know, I think they should have the opportunity to find what they like, find what they enjoy, find what they excel at, and then eventually down the road, if they really want to dedicate themselves to it, then go to it. There's so many at a young age. There's a family I know, it's a wonderful family, and I asked them where they took their vacation that summer, and they said, well, we went to Colorado. I said, that's beautiful. They said, well, Matt had a soccer tournament in Colorado.
Right, right.
I thought, oh...
And I mean,
even the kid deserves some time off to go hiking.
Right. Well, you know, those things aren't cheap either.
No.
So,
not
so,
in the least.
I totally agree, and I'd be interested to see what your trainer has to say about, you know, where he thought that the age would be.
Right. That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. We'll get Saz back on the show. This is something we recorded earlier at the Sunbury Motors studio, so I'm not going to include that. You won't
right.
hear that question included here. But I will get Saz back in here, and we will have that conversation, because it's a great, great question you're asking, George.
So, yeah, it's been an interest of mine for quite a while, because I see it happening, and my kids are, you know, out now, so it doesn't matter. But it's still a lot of pressure on these kids, and they can get hurt, you know.
So. They sure can. They sure can.
All right.
George, great call. Tell everybody in Maryland we said hi.
Will do.
And make sure that if you have any birthday parties in Maryland and you'd like to make sure the person's going to get something really nice, not to invite Kevin.
Okay.
because he shows up empty-handed, but is hoping that there's a great buffet.
But it's from the heart.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully, and so's the buffet. George, right. Thanks so much.
Have a good one, guys.
Great call.
All right,
our
bye.
Number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Earlier, I had a chance to talk with Penn State athletic trainer Jonathan Salazar about the ups and downs of the job and some of the difficulties you face along the way.
Well, it's a struggle, and it's easier as they get older. It's the freshmen are a little tougher to work with, figure them out, see how much exactly are they, how they are, if their pain tolerance, we'll say, and you know how much you have to weigh subjectively versus objectively. And so, you know, obviously our number one goal is to get them out there as quickly as possible without compromising injury or causing further injury.
But is there a challenge for you to the athlete that just wants to get out there and will do anything they can to get back out there, and you say to yourself, wait, you're not quite ready yet? Is there a challenge to handling that?
Absolutely, absolutely, because, you know, I have a competitive personality as well, and early on coach had us all come up with a word that we needed to work on, and patience is my word. And so I always remember that. It's posted on my door, and patience is I have to have patience not only for myself but for the athlete as well, and make sure that, you know, we make the best and right decision for them before returning them back to play. And sometimes that means, you know, almost physically restraining them and say, listen, you know, you can't go out there. You can't. And I got to be the one to make that call sometimes. And, you know, you want to push the envelope, but you always never want to compromise it.
Explain to the fans how fortunate you've been over the years to have coaches that totally trusted your judgment and did not push you.
Oh, it's invaluable. Invaluable in my profession. I've been, you know, Jerry and Ed and Pat has really let me do my job, and they've trusted me, and I trust them. And I just had that conversation with the coach before practice today, and he said, Zaz, trust me. And I said, I do absolutely, and I know that he trusts me, and it's a process to get there, but we've been able to trust each other implicitly, and it works out for the best.
Young person listening to this, maybe they want to go and they would like to become a trainer. Explain the educational process and what you had to go through in your life to get to this point where you're now a trainer of a Division I men's basketball program, and before this, a trainer for a Division I football program.
Well, the first step is you get an undergraduate degree. I mean, I got my undergraduate degree at Penn State, and what they have is what's called a curriculum, and usually apply and get into the curriculum. You know, now it's your sophomore or junior year. It takes about five semesters, and each of those semesters you go through a different practical aspect of it. And there's course requirements, obviously. You'll get your degree, and then after your degree, if you meet all the criteria for the national organization, you can sit for your board of certification test with the National Athletic Trainers Association. You sit for your test and pass your. It's a three-part test. You pass that, and with your degree, you become certified as an athletic trainer. Now, most athletic trainers these days go on and do a graduate assistantship as well, and get their master's degree in either athletic training or some other field of kinesiology or health and medicine, and go on from there and get some more clinical experience as well as educational experience.
You've worked with Dr. Wayne Sebastianelli, Dr. Gregory Billy currently, and before that, Dr. Doug Ackerman. Where is the line where you have to stop and they have to step in, and then it comes back to you? Explain how that works.
Well, in the profession, and particularly in Pennsylvania, we are governed by the State Board of Medicine. Mm-hmm. And so they are kind of our governing body. And so, you know, if it's something that needs to be, you know, referred on to a physician. And once I, you know, I have an opinion upon it, and I consult with the physician, and they'll do the official diagnosis of an injury, and together we'll come up with a treatment plan, and most of us have protocols for most common things, but it's a relationship, and And you come up with it together, and then you execute your plan.
And once then eventually gets back to you, you have to rehab them back.
Yep, we do the treatments, the rehabilitation, and then the, you know, phasing them back to return to play criteria.
Because we notice, at least I notice all the time, when there's an injury, 9 times out of 10, you're the first person to go out. Then eventually the doctor casually walks out if it seems like it's taking a little longer than usual. So when you go out, what initially are you trying to do?
Well, you just initially assess the severity of it. Is it something that's, you know, very severe? Is it going to require, you know, immediate attention? Do you need immediate medical attention? Or is it something that, you know, they're just kind of, their ego was bruised as much as their something else? And, okay. And that happens as well. So I kind of do the initial assessment, and at that point decide if what steps need to be.
John, Saz, when you look at over the years and the athletes you've dealt with, you develop personal relationships with them along the way. Does that make it easier for you to treat along the way because you know the personalities, or at times you have to remind yourself of a professional relationship?
I think it makes it easier. And, you know, one thing that I've developed over the years is, you know, when I'm treating someone, I try to imagine that how would I treat my own son? And I treat him that way. And so there is a personal element to it. And, you know, that way I could look the kid in the eye and know that I'm doing the best thing for him. And then I could look the parents in the eye and tell them that, you know, I'm doing everything that we could do for you. And if you take it from that perspective, it is very personal. And it helps, though.
You're also a great family man, and I see your children all the time. They'll stop by at practice, and obviously, your wife is the one that carries the. Let's face it, she carries you.
Yes.
Simple as that. But in terms of trying to balance what is a demanding hour life, I mean, the hours that you have to put in versus home, how challenging can that be at times?
I wouldn't be able to do it without her. She is, she makes it all happen. She takes care of the kids, and she makes sure the house and everything is all squared away, and I could not do it without her.
Now she has 3 kids, right?
Yes, she does.
1, 2, and you make 3.
Yes.
From the road trips, don't we know it? Saz, you're the best. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time you gave us tonight.
Thank you, Steve.
That's trainer Jonathan Salazar, and at least get an insight into the job that he does and what he has to do with that job. And called up from Maryland, asked a couple of great questions, which we're going to have to deal with on the show. You'll either bring in a doctor to talk about this, maybe we'll get Doug Aukerman to come on the show, or something from Oregon State to talk about all this and more about concussions. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. More of your calls in a moment on The Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Susquehanna Valley RV. It's the Big RV Show. And there is only one RV dealer who could put this show on the road. Susquehanna Valley RV presents the Pre-Spring RV Show at the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. If you are even thinking about camping, this is the one show you don't want to miss. Huge discounts on all units. The big names will be there, like Cherokee, Denali by Dutchman, Gray Wolf, Wildcat, Viewfinder, Shadow Cruiser, Freedom Express by Coachman, and many, many more RVs. It's mind-boggling. A 31-foot Gray Wolf show price, $16,997. Make plans to attend the Big RV Show. Presented by Susquehanna Valley RV at the Bloomsburg Fairgrounds this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Free admission and free parking. For more information, log on to funrvcamping.com.
There's an exciting new world waiting for you at Susquehanna Valley RV. A camper's best friend.
Hi, this is Cindy Bonowitz at the Sunbury office of the Bowen Agency. Spring is definitely on the way, the season of anticipation for our local real estate market. We have great properties available, and buying a home now is so doable. Let's talk about your special needs and those fillies. Let me go to bat for you.
Bowen Agency Realtors in Sewens Grove, Lewisburg, and Sunbury. On the web at bowenagency.com. Coming or going, see a realtor at Bowen.
Talk Radio 1380 WMLP is proud to support organizations that make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
On Saturday, March 3rd, the Shikellamy Class of 1974 and the Sunbury Social Club are sponsoring a benefit to save fifth grade camp in the Shikellamy School District. There will be a silent auction and musical entertainment will be provided by Ann Kerstetter and her band of cronies, as well as music by Eric Rockow. There is a $10 cover charge and the doors open at 6 p.m. Please join us in supporting the fifth graders in their pursuit of having some more fifth grade camp.
Our number is 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And the Sarah Bartlett birthday blowout. Great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon on what we consider to be a regional holiday. If it's Sarah's birthday, it's a regional holiday as far as we're concerned. We're taking it one step further, and once again, everybody in the station, very generous, especially Allie Stevens, with one notable exception. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Let's go back to the phones. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing?
We'll just call back to talk about the concussions and stuff and a few other things. When I was in fifth and sixth grade, I played on a flag football team. Mm-hmm. But our lineman, I'll just give you an idea. His name was Joe Thomas. He was 6'2", 326 pounds. Now, the doctor told him that he had to lose some weight. But he's still alive today, but now he's like 174 pounds. Okay?
I want to know his secret.
Well, and I was going to give you the rest. He was the center. The tackles, one guy was 274 pounds, the 260, and our guards were 220. This is a high school kid, I mean, elementary school kids, but we were out in the country. Okay? And we won our league 2 years running. And the only time we gave up any scores was my dad wouldn't let myself and my twin brother go play because the game. We had to go to the farm, and I told you about the corn deal. Well, we had to pick corn and that, throw in the corn crib. And that's the only points they gave up the whole year.
Incredible.
Yeah, well, I said I played. I was interested in baseball. I was left-hander. Had a natural curve and could throw a knuckleball. Told you about my uncle.
Right.
Played for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Right.
Well, he taught me how to pitch it, throw the knuckle. And also, they found out the health concerns was when I got into junior high. I could throw in junior high a 50-yard fast tight spiral. So I was going to play football.
Right.
But that's how they found the respiratory problem.
Oh, okay.
Well, and to this day, I'm glad that I had the love of sports, but they never found it.
Right, exactly. And that's where you find the love for it when you're younger. But again, You know, I look at, for example, Little League and T-ball. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I always found the toughest level to coach at for me was when they were 9, 10, and then 13-year-olds. The reason 9, 10 was hard is because in this level around here, that's the first time where the kid pitches. So you have to find kids that can pitch. And then when you go to 13, they move from the Little League field to a Major League field, 60-foot bases to 90-foot. Well, you have to not only find pitchers, but you also have to find a shortstop that can get the ball over, a third baseman can get the ball over, and you have to find a catcher and get the ball down to second base. So, I mean, those were always the toughest transition ones to make. And when it comes to football, I strongly feel that contact should not happen in football until seventh grade. I'll give leeway to maybe sixth grade, but that's all developmental.
Yeah, but that's why the whole thing was because of our love for it, because they only had flag football until got to junior high. Then you went to tackle.
Right. Well, Dave, thanks so much for your call and your perspective. I appreciate it. And our number is 1-800-795-9565. Jump in with your comment on it. We'd appreciate that at 1-800-795-9565. As we talk about that, we also heard from Penn State trainer Jonathan Salazar. Tomorrow we'll preview Selins Grove against Shikellamy in boys basketball, and the Chief will stop in and give us the girls' perspective as well. So we have all that coming up in tomorrow's show because that doubleheader will take place on Friday.
It's going to be a busy day again tomorrow.
Be a busy day again tomorrow, and then we'll have more for you on Friday's show.
You know, the one thing I wanted to add, though, most of these football leagues that we're talking about, including the one that I was discussing earlier, they do have weight limits in the league, and that's good and bad.
I understand.
That's good and bad.
I understand that. I understand that, but I just don't think at this point there's contact needed. I don't want – and the again, fundamentally teaching tackling.
Absolutely.
Too many kids see what they see on TV, and they think that players are leading with their helmet when actually the helmet may be in front, but they're not using the helmet to contact.
That's exactly right. And I can't tell you how many weeks, days, hours you spend trying to get that point across, and still by the end of the season, it's helmet leading tackling, and that's just the way it happens. And now I'm not against contact. I'm kind of in the middle, and the reason I'm personally that way is because I love to watch these kids play football, and they have fun doing it. So from a coaching standpoint, I really enjoyed that, but I also understand it from as a parent as well, the dangers that go along with it. So I kind of toe the line on that one a little bit.
Well, I'm not saying no careful. Football. I'm not saying no football before seventh grade. I'm saying no contact.
No contact football. Right. I mean,
there's a big difference. Right. And you can learn the disciplines needed at that level to get up to seventh grade. And, and again, I'll maybe lean a little bit towards sixth. But there's no way below that as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
there's no way.
I'm okay with the 11-12s. I'm okay with 11-12 because, I think the playing field is a little more even than when you look at 8, 9, and 10. Those can be really big differences.
Yeah, and it is a big difference.
And I know the weights are in there for a special reason so that nobody gets hurt. I get that. But it's also a negative, too, because you have a young man or woman for that matter, a young lady for that matter, who's just a little bit over the limit, maybe by a pound or two, and then can't play because of the weight limit in there. And that's not a good sign either. You're not sending the right message.
And remember, once you get the first concussion, you're 50% more susceptible to a second one. That is an incredible number. And that's the only reason why I don't want the contact until seventh grade.
That's a statistic I hadn't realized, that you're that much more susceptible.
Kevin, I've done so many interviews about it, television, radio, and you hear that and it sticks out to you. CBS News coming up at the top of the hour, then Sarah Bartlett with local news. Second hour of the Steve Jones Show coming up.